Father, thank you again for the Word of God. Thank you for these people who come here this morning, and we pray in this hour now that you'd help us as we open this book again. Thank you for the songs that have been sung to help us set the pace. Now as we feed upon your Word, Lord, help us get a vision greater than we had when we came. Give us something to help us live for you rather than for self in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Take your Bible, please, and turn to John chapter 18. I want to read verse 33 through 38. If I'd go back and kindly paraphrase up from verse 28 down to verse 33, you'd see that Jesus now has been taken from Caiaphas' house, the hall of judgment, and to the hall of judgment. The Jews in this early morning said, they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but they might eat the Passover. Isn't it interesting how the wicked heart can cover itself up? They wouldn't go into the judgment hall because they felt like they defiled themselves, would not be able to eat the Passover. They're willing to kill Jesus before they had the Passover. I would think murder would be worse than going into judgment hall, wouldn't you? But anyhow, it goes on, he said, verse 29, Pilate then went out unto them and said, what accusation bring you against this man? Watch verse 30. They answered and said unto him, if he were not a malefactor, we would have not have delivered him unto thee. And isn't that interesting, ladies? He said, if she'd been a woman, we took care of ourselves. But since he's a malefactor, we had to bring him to you. And then Pilate said unto them, take him and judge him according to your law. And the Jews therefore said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death. Well, they're sure trying mighty hard to do it, aren't they? If you look at the record, verse 33. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and he called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, sayest thou this of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thy own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? And Jesus answered, I love this. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered unto the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. And Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? And Jesus answered, thou sayest that I'm a king? To this end was I born, for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. What's this phrase? Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. Everyone that's of the truth heareth my voice. Then Pilate said unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, I find in him no fault at all. What is truth? And he goes out and he says, I don't find any fault with this guy. He must have seen a little bit of truth, hadn't he? And yet, politically, he had reason why he did what he did. In Ephesians chapter 4, if you turn quickly, we'll read a few verses and I'll give you the thought in just a moment. In verse 17 down to about verse 21, Paul said, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Watch this now. Now, Jesus talking about being truth. He said, he tells us, you know, that everyone that is the truth heareth my voice. Now, Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, and he said, we're not to walk like the Gentiles walk. How do they walk? In the vanity of their minds. Watch what he said. What is the vanity of their mind? Verse 18, have the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. Isn't it interesting? Smartest people in this world leave God out, and they're ignorant in God's sight. In them, notice, he said, because of the blindness of the heart. Not because they don't have intellectual ability, not because they didn't gain a lot of things. It just simply means that in their heart, they're blind spiritually and comes to the things of God. They cannot see that. Who being past feelings have given themselves over into lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Watch this. If you go back verse 19, if you walk in the vanity of your mind, and your understanding has been darkened, you have not so learned Christ. That's pretty plain, isn't it? Hey, you measure that and hold it up around the world and see a lot of folks in your mirror to look at. These people who walk and move in that direction have not learned Christ. Hey, if you got the same Bible I've got, I'm not reading American Standard here. I'm reading King James. Not what he said. And he said, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, what's this? As truth, notice, is in Muhammad. Buddha. Charles Innes. I hope some of it is, but not like Jesus. In Jesus, he is the truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. John 17:17 said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now, there's a lot of voices out in the world today trying to tell us what truth is. I think truth can be verified. I read where Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson went on a camping trip. And they couldn't find a place to stay, so they got him a tent. Got him one of these two-man tents. You know, like you had in the service. And that night it got dark, they pitched the tent. And they got in there and lay down on the back, and they were looking up towards the sky and inside the tent. And when they had just got down good, Watson, looking up at the sky, said, Mr. Holmes, he said, I see millions and millions of stars. And Holmes said, well, Dr. Watson, what does that tell you? He said, oh, my. He said, astronomically, it tells me there are millions of stars and galaxies and planets out there in the universe. Meteorologically, it tells me that we have a good day, going to have a good day tomorrow. Theologically, it tells me that God is a great God and we are insignificant in his sight. Mr. Holmes, what does it tell you? Holmes is laying there in the back of his back looking up towards the stars in the sky. And he says, Dr. Watson, it tells me someone has stole our tent. Truth can be looked in a lot of ways. But at that moment, if you're laying inside of a tent looking up and you don't see nothing but stars, somebody got your tent. Amen? Well, that's just about the way it is when it comes to the things of God. We got all the answers but the answer. Did you see the important things? When I think about this subject, and I find my subject found, again, in verse 38. What is truth? What is truth? You know, we live in an age of many questions. Among the questions is this question. What is truth? I'll tell you this, there's about as many definitions as you'll find anywhere else in our nation what truth really is. John used this word as a key word in his vocabulary. It is also an age that we're living in where voices are clamoring for hearing what they call truth. Folks, I'll be honest with you, it's just to the place now you can't hardly trust nobody. We live in a lying age. There's no such a thing as in God's sight big lies, little lies, white lies, black lies. They're all lies. But we've categorized them. You can know exactly something happened and somebody else come along and deny every bit of it. We're talking about what is truth. Pilate asked Jesus this. Each voice offers its own solution of life. How are we to escape from this type of confusion? Who can you trust today when they say, I'm telling you the truth? We say that's human beings. And yet there are many people who deny what we've called to be truth. How can you escape this confusion? I'll tell you one thing. This book is a book of truth. Now, we may misunderstand it, but it's truth. When I think about what is truth, chemistry and physics and astronomy, these were first dealt with in science years ago, trying to find truth. Later, psychology and social science was added, trying to find truth. Then man came along with his machine now called modern science, trying to find truth. Modern science was born from the Christian format that man on the basis of reason could understand the universe because God, who is a God of reason, created the universe. And yet we live in a day today that people don't believe he created, or many who do believe a God created, but not the God that this Bible tells us about. And I say to you, if we do not begin with the Creator and wanting to know truth, we are left literally with the impersonal plus time, plus chance, idiotic thinking about life. We move God out from what we know is truth. And ladies and gentlemen, our thinking is very false. Evolution, for instance, in Darwin's day, he come up with this thought of trying to give a solution to life. And there's many today who believe that, and I said in Sunday school class this morning, the fact that they believe it, not so much that it's true, but they don't have anything else to believe other than scientific creation. But Darwin said, and could you listen to what I'm fixing to quote? He said before he died about evolution, he's the one who had that big debate, you know. And he said, I know, I quote, I know in my mind this cannot be true, but my mind is only a monkey's mind, and who can trust mine like that? Boy, that's something to believe, isn't it? Praise God. I look at you and tell you, you got a better mind than a monkey's got. Most of it. You say, preach the same goes to the pews, go to the pulpit. I agree with that. Amen. What I'm saying, though, it doesn't make sense when you look at things through what others call to be truth. So we have to understand what Jesus is telling. We must leave the voice of this old world and enter into our chamber with God's Word, desiring and studying and seeking from God truth. When He speaks, it's truth. And it will stand forever. What man cannot discuss, God won't reveal. God's not in the act of revealing to someone something that he don't want to know. And if you want to know it, you'll be willing to discuss it or study it. And when you're studying it, that's a type of discussion to yourself. I discuss everything I read to myself, everything I study. I've got it down, documented. And I'll go back and discuss it to myself many times. Every Sunday morning, I'm sitting up after I eat, and I go in and I go over a message and discuss it out loud. Barbara has to get in the back room. So she don't hear it. She can't hear it twice. She had to hear the message one time. And I discuss it in verbally, because there's so much in discussing that even hear my voice speaking, God can bring changes to my mind. I really believe He controls that atmosphere when you get there, as these things come to your mind from time to time. And when you discuss it, science and art and philosophy and poetry, these things can help me in this life to maybe be a better person. But ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. They cannot help me like Jesus Christ can help me. For He is the truth. Isn't it amazing? Pilate said, what is truth? He's looking right at Him. He's the very epitome of truth as far as it comes from God and what God is saying and doing. When Jesus speaks His truth, there is a longing to respond by those who love truth. Again, you see in John chapter 18, as I was reading verse 37, He made this statement. He said, thou sayest that I am a king, to this end was I born. And in that verse, He said, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you, if you're saved and you want to know truth and you get along with God studying truth, your heart will almost leap out of your bosom sometimes when you see things that God showed you. Now, I don't mean you'll find it, you know, beating hard sometimes, even that. But you'll find excited. You'll find, praise God, I never saw that before. Isn't it amazing? You can turn around, nobody tell it to you. You can't hardly wait because God has shown something. And just keep in mind, by the time you tell it, somebody will turn it down. Because the world don't like truth. It condemns. So when Jesus speaks His truth, there's a longing to respond to that truth. Let me give you three quick points that I see about what is truth. Number one is this. In the gospel, we see Jesus Christ that's sure of what He has to say. He's not like other people. The Bible said, never man spoke like this, as people talked about Him, you see. He is sure. He's not thinking. He's not guessing. He is sure of what He said. I think about, I read word of story where an elder couple flew for the first time. They flew up the mountain somewhere and they flew the first time. And they got on the plane and going to Chicago. And they had been in the air 30 minutes when the captain of the plane, the pilot, called in and said, this is your captain speaking. He said, we just lost one of the three engines on this plane. He said, but don't worry, don't panic. He said, this plane can fly just as good on two engines as it can three. And said, we'll be, only thing about it, we'll be delayed probably about 30 minutes to an hour due to trying to have to slow down without the third engine. And they went on about 30 more minutes. Suddenly they came over the PA system and said, "This is your pilot." And he said, "We want you to know, again, we've lost the second engine on this plane. And I assure you that we'll be able to make a safe landing with one engine, because this plane can fly on one engine. The only thing about it is, we're probably going to be about 2 hours late because we're slowed down." And Grandpa turned to Grandma, they're about 80 years old piece, and he said, "Grandma, if that third engine goes out, we'll be up here all night long." The way we look at things sometimes, when it comes to the reality, we don't see it. But I've got news for you. When Jesus spoke, he knew the reality of both spheres, of heaven and this earth. He knew what he was talking about. Never before was there a teacher more positive or dogmatic than Jesus Christ. As a human being, we have our own views. We cherish our opinions. We balance our arguments. We measure our probabilities. You never find this in Jesus Christ. When Jesus spoke, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, truly, truly, listen to what I'm going to say." He doesn't have to say it one time, but in this case, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." That means he knows what he's going to say. See, God's laws are built on solid foundation. They're not built on sociological sets of statistics. The Bible teaches us God has spoken his word, which is his laws. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2, "God has sundered times in diverse manners, spake in times past unto the fathers of the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heirs of all things, by whom also he made the worlds." God has spoken to us through his word. And the thing about this is, truth is contained and revealed in the gospel story about Jesus Christ. It is the gospel that must be proclaimed. By the way, that's your indictment to give the gospel out. Every last one of us in here as children of God. Truth in Christ is truth in his life here on this earth. In John 17:17, the Bible says, "Thy word is truth." When you talk about his life on this earth, that's what he did. When you talk about "thy word is truth," that's what he spoke. What does the Bible say? Study to see if those things are so. Acts 17 verse 11 says, "The Berean received the word of God as receiving, as read in some mind, searching the scriptures to know that those things are true." How many in here act like the Bereans do? Not many of us. We've got too much other things to do. Jesus imparted truth effectively to others because he was the truth. What he was saying to Pilate here, Pilate didn't get it. You see, to his contemporaries, that is to Christ's contemporaries, Jesus was a failure. By the way, same way today that people look at him. To the contemporaries, Jesus was cut off as a young man. To his contemporaries, they tortured and killed someone like the vilest criminal. To his contemporary, they cannot see him as who God says he is, as who he says he is, as who the Holy Spirit says he is. But let me tell you something. To a child of God, we know that he did not fail. We know that he had accomplished what he came to do. We know his life was successful. We know that he reversed the whole course of history. We know, we are persuaded that self-denial and cross-bearing and the Christian life is not and cannot be a failure, though Satan tries to tell us it is. That's the reason many things come before God. And we'll justify it. We'll justify it. And when you hear a message preach about success and we talk about God being first, it's so easy to say, "But the preacher, he's got to say that. He's not where I'm at." I don't have to be where you're at. God's already been there. He's proved to you and I that he can do exactly what God says do and still come out good in the end and be a blessing while he's here. And that's the reason he gives us this information. This truth is seen in the life of Jesus Christ. The world sees him as a failure. But praise be unto God, we see him as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. We see the success and we cry, "Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." There is a victory in him, though the world may say there's not. And though sometimes we're in the midst of circumstances and they look at us and think we're not victorious, what a picture that reveals in the gospel of Jesus Christ. This little Bethlehem baby, this little boy in Nazareth, this little carpenter in the workshop, this little preacher by the wayside at the lakeside, this little brother in the home, this healer of sickness, this victim of cross, this one that rose from the dead, this sinless one who lived in his life. He said, I and the Father are one. And the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. The existence of a world points to a cause. The order of our universe suggests the mind. The beauty of a nature suggests the soul. The beautifulness of life suggests a heart. And we see Jesus Christ, while he was here, sure of what he said. He spoke the truth. And Pilate says, what is truth? There may be someone here right now, and I tell you, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And you say, what is the way, the truth, and the life? Jesus Christ. Well, what is it? I just told you, Jesus Christ. Well, how's that? Jesus Christ. He's the answer. Number two, then I think about what is truth. Is there a God? Yes. Okay, preacher, if there is, then who is he? Who is this God? Well, Jesus introduced God as a caring God, as a caring person while he was here. Bible gives us truth that God is alive and he's well. God is personal. I am personal. You are personal. We're made in his image. And it's only natural then that I, as a person who is personal, and you who is personal, and God who is personal, it's only obvious then that people who are personal need personal relationships. And that's what God has established for you and I. Personal relationships. It's only natural that I would want a personal relationship with him. Do you believe, let me ask you, do you believe that God is alive and well this morning? And if so, your life will be different. Amen. Or you don't believe the God of this Bible. Our lives will change. Not in the vanity of your mind, as Ephesians 4:17 tells us. That's the way the Gentiles are. Gentiles act that way. Lost pagan people act that way. But when it comes to the truth of God's Word, there's a change. In Christ, I return to that for which I was created. I lost it in the first Adam, but now I've come to the place to understand that God has given me the great opportunity not to be brought under the curse of Adam, but be relieved from the curse of Adam, so that we who have been relieved from the curse of Adam can return to the purpose that God created us for and be used for his kingdom this side of eternity. A personal relationship with a personal God. Now I live for a different world. Why I'm passing through this world here in this life. Man is separated from God by rebellion. Man is not separated from God by creation. Rebellion separated. Listen, when God had created Adam and Eve and started procreation, he wasn't separated from God because God created him. He was separated from God because of rebellion. And so as it is in our day today, you see. God created us so we could talk. We could think. We could reason. He gives us true information to function in these areas of our mind and in our lives. He uses statements and commands and records of himself in space and time and history. This is more than enough to adequately give us knowledge about him. And this is true knowledge. It amazes me that people listen to debate between evolution and scientific creation, and walk away believing evolution, which is not true knowledge. You say, well, preacher, we know better. You're just a little bit spiritually ignorant. Just wait till all the books are counted. I pray to God, let me one of these days walk up to some of these people who think I'm spiritually ignorant and say, I told you so. There's going to come a time that I'm going to say, hey, I'm sorry, sir, but didn't I tell you? Lord, didn't I tell him? Ha, ha, ha. That's what they do to me now. You're just spiritually backward. I'm going to have some ha-ha one of these days. And while they're weeping, we're going to be rejoicing. Well, folks, I believe the God of this book. I'd be a fool to sit here for 47 years or do this for 47 years as it is now and not believe that God of this book is real. And so would you. You can find better things to do to hear a person come here and holler and sweat and slobber. Amen? I know you can, because I could do it. But when you're telling truth, you don't hear it anywhere else much in this world. You just don't hear it. And God has given us a mind that we can listen to words and understand what God has said. This is more than enough to have a knowledge about Him. Jesus Christ came as a prophet, a priest, a king, a revealer of God, God, the Godhead bodily. Christ's words and the Bible stand side by side as giving us information about God. In our lives, God's word must take first place, not reason. Reason is not first place. Reason can lead me in a lot of different directions until I get my reasoning right. But truth will always lead me right if I follow truth. And it is truth, you see. Both the natural and spiritual worlds are real. The natural world is revealed through the natural senses. And this is another thing about it. I told the class this morning, I'm studying the mind. It's the most fascinating thing. I declare it. I'm studying not only from a scientific standpoint, what man has found, but from a biblical standpoint, what God has said about it. It's a fantastic study. It's just a study, and I hope one of these days some messages will come out of this when I finish it. Probably be a few weeks now, months. It's one of the ones in my bedroom, I study at night when I'm sitting a lot of times. In our lives, God's word must take its first place. And we think about the natural world revealed through the natural senses. The spiritual world doesn't depend upon the senses, though. The spiritual world depends on the Spirit of God. You see, that's where we mess up. This natural world, everything we learn comes through the five senses. And there's a couple others that could be added, I guess. You will not learn of the spiritual world through the five senses. It only helps us identify with this world. But this life has to be brought into from another dimension, into this dimension to learn about spiritual things. And we learn spiritual things from God, who Jesus said in John 4, is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So the spiritual world does not depend upon our senses. It depends upon the Spirit of God. We learn and we act upon God's promises. Then they become real to us and they're evidence in our lives. When the Spirit of God reveals truth in this life, you and I in this life learn from our senses, and that causes us to move, motivate, whatever it is that we're doing. You know, it causes us to change our mind, look at things, evaluate things through our senses. But when it comes to the things of God, it takes more than just the senses. You can look around and know through senses that it must be somebody or something that did this. We don't know who he is. It takes God to tell us who did it. And he's given us that through his precious word. So we learn and act upon God's promises found in this book. And then they become real to us and are evidence in our life. Modern man teaches us that there is no final truth. They say there is no final meaning. There's no absolutes. Modern man says right and wrong is what is best for material benefits. And in the five senses of this world, you can get material benefits doing right and wrong. Sometimes you do wrong, get caught. Sometimes people do wrong, don't get caught. So in this life, you find that even though you might believe these things about there is no such a thing as, you know, that no final truth or no absolutes. But when you think about right and wrong, and you think, well, you know, right and wrong is what is best for the material benefits. But when you look at that, if something be gained right or wrong, just which is the best way to get it, there's no basis for value on that. There's no basis. You can't. If you can get something doing something right or do something wrong, there's no basis of value to say you could always do what is right. That's the reason a lot of people do what is wrong in the face of what God says. And somehow or another reap something temporarily and they think, and it's wonderful. God didn't do anything. Well, that must not be so bad. Not realizing God is a tolerant God, a graceful God. And God says, hey, I don't have to do anything now. I've already told you, there is a judgment day coming. And everything will be brought before the judgment day in that time. Modern man feels education is acceptable and presses upon youth as the only thing to pursue. Modern man sets forth and feels that success is started as young as possible, including college. And you say, well, when we ask why... Why do you say that? They say, well, it gives you good social status and you can make more money. That may be true physically, But 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7 says that man is ever learning but never coming to the truth. Isn't it interesting? You may learn a lot of things that will work for you in an affirmed way, in a truthful way. Or it might be you get something that works not like it should and yet reward from it. You might do something wrong and someone rewards you for it. But it don't mean that you won't give an account one day. It don't mean that I won't give an account one day. When a man fails to recognize the true God, that is not the best place in this world to be. So I say to you, what is truth? Christ was sure of what he had to say. When I read what Christ says, let's read on Wednesday night. It blesses my heart to follow Christ 2,000 years. We've been in his shoes now for weeks and weeks for 2,000 years ago. And looking through his eyes, through the scriptures, to see what went on and what happened. And it comes alive to us. What is truth? Christ was sure of what he had to say. What is truth? There is a God, and truth reveals him. The third thing is this. The difference in us in any age is that today many are asking if the local church has a future in the closing days of the 20th century and the beginning days of the 21st century. Adult class, I'm fixed show. We've been told everywhere you can turn, the church is out of date today and you've got to bring it up to date. Jesus Christ is not the way the people preached here 50 years, 100 years ago. He's got to be preached a new way today because, after all, it's to be success in this life and get people to live with each other and love everybody and instead of being prepared to meet God in heaven one day. Instead of being born again and removed from the curse, you see. And we say, yes, God has given man a longing for truth. And only in God can that longing be fulfilled. One is a fool to scoff at true knowledge. Romans 1:22 says, "Be professing self to be wise, they become fools." And we live in an age where that's happened today. Ladies and gentlemen, as near as I know how, and I've said it over and over again, a man who would live, or a woman who would live, or a youth who would live in this life and deny the existence of God, not only to believe in but to follow, is a fool. The Bible calls him that. The Bible calls him. Now, if someone was editing this, they'd come back and say, he called everybody a fool. But they wouldn't put, the Bible tells us that. See, that's the way people do and get in what's been said and take out of context so they can promote someone to say, well, that's bad because nowadays you can be sued for calling a person a fool. No, I'm telling you, the Bible is very clear about what God says, who he is and what he's doing. And here I find in Pilate's day, Pilate's conscience had not been touched about truth. When Jesus said what he said to him here in John chapter 18, his conscience had not been touched about truth. So he was questioned to know more. And he was the right person to ask this. He was questioned to know much more. And Jesus was telling him about his kingdom. Isn't it interesting? They were thinking he wanted to dethrone Pilate and, you know, usurp authority over Rome and everything else. And he said, no, my kingdom's not of this world. If it was, my people would fight for me. My kingdom's another kingdom that is in the heart, where in turn changes people to live with each other while in this world until I take them home with me. Here, Pilate is questioned who is the truth. And he turns suddenly around and he signs Jesus' death warrant, declaring, I find no fault in him. Boy, how hypocritical can you get than that? In the name of heaven, Pilate, why would you turn and listen to Christ speak? And he talks about truth, and you ask what is truth because you wanted to know, and he gives you an answer. You're looking at him, and in the meantime, you walk out and say, I find no fault in this man, knowing that what you're seeing, he must be truth, and yet you turn right around and sign his death warrant. Why? Let's search for answers. And I'll tell you the only thing I can come up with, Pilate's political career overruled his honest thinking. And I said, praise the Lord, that's the way we are. We're just like Pilate. It's not that we've signed his death warrant, but there's other things we make decisions the same way. This can happen to any of us. What is truth? Political situation in Pilate's was more important than what God says. Well, thank God I'm not in politics. What about pleasure? Nothing wrong with pleasure, but it's more important than God. It's out of place. What about desires? What about wants? What about things in turn that captures us so much that God becomes anything but first? Same principle with Pilate. Same principle. What is it that overrules your honest thinking when you think about truth and what truth is saying through His Son? What is truth? Christ was sure what He said. And we see this in the Gospels. What is truth? There is a God, and truth reveals Him in the Holy Bible. What is truth? God's church has a glorious future. Are you part of it? Are you part of it? What is truth? There's going to be rewards for those who serve Him. There's crowns to be given out. What is truth? What is truth? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Because if you have, you receive truth. And it calls you to see Him in a way you've never seen Him before. And by faith receiving Him, that's truth. Because He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. What is truth? Ladies and gentlemen, aren't you glad we live in a world that's so full of lies and falsehood? We have someone we can count on. And I'm so glad that I know if I do what He said do in receiving Christ, He'll do what He said He'd do, because He who is truth don't tell lies. I can tell you, hey, I want to speak the truth, but I'm just like you. I may not know everything I need to know. I know you don't believe that, but I don't. But I'll tell you this, not knowing can cause us to tell a lie, innocently or knowingly. I say both ways. It's so easy when truth and lies, truth is a narrow part, lies fill the room. That's the way it is. And this word reflects truth to us. What is truth? Pilate, you're looking at him. What is truth, folks? Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Please know Him. Don't rebel against Him. Trust Him. And then follow Him. And He'll reveal to you God's Word, which is truth. Our Father, I thank You for the study of this, Lord. Bless Your people. Bless us together as we try our best to serve You and to get the message out in our day. Dear Father, there's people who are going to school and what they're being taught is true for that particular subject, for that particular thing. They have to conform to that, to pass or to graduate. We understand that. And it amazes me, there's very little discussion about it, that's what's required. But it amazes me that we turn right around, we question everything God requires, as if it don't really matter. And our graduation day, our coronation day is coming. The rapture is going to take place. Revelation 19, we're going to be in the very presence of our God, our Savior, the bride in her bride clothes of righteousness that Jesus has got for us. It's going to be a glorious time. But until that day, we're to be manifest in this world, His kingdom. Help Your people this week where they go. Dear Lord, encourage them and help them to see that truth will never change. That's the reason God doesn't have to change. And just because we're a little more modern and a little more liberal and a little more moved in the modern day trend doesn't mean that God has to change to meet us. He's been from everlasting to everlasting, and He's the same. Thank You for that. That means that You're saved. An individual's heart today, like He did in Christ's day, 2,000 years ago, in Paul's day. That means that You love people as much as You did when You said, John 3:16. I pray today that someone will see truth and dig a little deeper. Say, Lord, please reveal to me exactly what it is You'd have for me in this personal relationship with a personal God. Through Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.